Well, prayer. Prayer's a big thing today, right? Prayer's at the heart of our Christian life. But sometimes, if we're honest, prayer can cause frustration, misunderstanding, sometimes even a little bit of pain, because we think that our prayers are not being answered. How do we pray? How does God answer prayer? Why does God sometimes seem to ignore our prayers? We've all felt that way, haven't we? I know I have sometimes, but I know that God's not ignoring my prayer. But we have these questions. They come up about prayer. We can't help ourselves. And we have a lot of things about prayer. Our prayer of the day, there's Pastor Emily chose a beautiful Eucharistic prayer, which all come to the heart of our needs and our wants and our desires. And our gospel for today is Luke's challenging depiction of Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. And there's an awful lot packed into those 13 verses. There's what we call the Lord's Prayer. There's a parable about prayer. And then there's sayings about prayer. So last week, Jesus visited his friends, Mary and Martha, and then he went away to pray. That's a common pattern, right, that you see in the Gospels. He does something and then he goes away to pray. And Luke, more than any of the other gospel writers, stresses how important prayer was in Jesus' life. And the disciples, of course, would observe Jesus at prayer so often. They knew John the Baptizer had taught his disciples how to pray. And so it seems only natural they would ask Jesus for advice. Please teach us how to pray. And Luke's version of Jesus' response, which of course we call the Lord's Prayer, is briefer and it's simpler than the one we find in the Gospel of Matthew. It has some of the same elements, your kingdom come, don't bring us to the time of trial, but it leaves out some phrases. God's earthly and heavenly will, deliverance from the evil one. And that's because Luke emphasizes the more down-to-earth concerns. Things like making sure we have enough food for tomorrow, strengthening our relationships that are formed by mutual forgiveness. This prayer is thoroughly Jewish. It's the same style as a Jewish prayer that they would be familiar with. It's a doxology, giving reverence to God, followed by petitions. We think it's probably based on a prayer that Jesus was taught. First, Jesus invites us to address God as Father, because he's encouraging us to speak to God in the same way that a child would speak to a beloved and trustworthy parent. So that's the kind of relationship Jesus is setting up. It's tempting to interpret the parable that follows as proof that God needs to be persuaded, that God needs to be cajoled into doing what we want, that the most important feature of Christian prayer is persistence. But the original Greek word there, anadia, is really shamelessness. And that means a kind of boldness that comes from familiarity. In the parable, the host needs bread, wants to borrow bread. And the host only asks once, because he has complete confidence that his neighbor will follow the rules of hospitality. Now, of course, the neighbor doesn't do that right away, but he's got that confidence. He's being shameless in asking. He's counting on his friend's desire to follow the social expectations of the community. And so by that story, Jesus is encouraging us to be bold when we offer our petitions to God. It's okay to shamelessly call on God to keep God's promises, because we have this close relationship. Following that parable, we have those commands: ask, search, knock. And that also, it's been kind of popular to interpret that as another call to persistence. You know, if you just keep searching and you just keep asking, just keep doing it and it'll happen. But it seems that it's more helpful to understand Jesus' command, ask, search, knock, to invite trust. He's inviting us to have trust in God. So we're asking, searching, and knocking with complete confidence that God is going to give us what we need. And those responses to Jesus' questions, none of you would give a snake to your child, would you, or a scorpion? That's pretty obvious, right? And by saying that, Jesus is telling us we can trust God because God is a beloved and a trustworthy parent. God will give us what we need. And most important of all, God will give us the Holy Spirit who empowers us. Prayer. Sometimes we become stuck on the mechanics of prayer. How to pray, when to pray, why to pray. I just gave the kids a little thing about the mechanics of prayer when you can't think of who you're going to be praying for. But Jesus actually focuses on a different question, which kind of lines up with what I taught the children. Who? And that's not to imply that those questions of how, why, and when aren't worthy of being asked. Because we face so many challenges in our daily lives. We have so many deeply felt needs that are sometimes seem to be going unmet. So those questions about how, why, and when are absolutely understandable and they deserve to be heard. But in this particular story, Jesus is more interested in inviting. He's interested in the invitation to prayer rather than the explanation of when, how, why we should pray. Jesus is inviting us into this personal relationship with God through prayer. In the Judaism of Jesus' day, God's name was thought to be too holy to speak. God's countenance was too terrible to behold. But Jesus is saying, approach God. Call God Abba. Have the familiarity, the boldness, the trust that a very young child would have running to a parent for their needs and also for protection. For Luke, prayer is not primarily about getting things from God, but it's about this relationship that we have with God. He shows in his gospel, after a life and ministry of prayer, Jesus prays yet again while he's hanging on the cross. So in the same way, we're being invited to make all of our needs, our wants, our hurts, our hopes, and our desires known to God who we trust. There are other places in Scripture that tell us God knows our needs without being asked, which is kind of comforting. But Luke encourages us to make our needs known. Don't be afraid to speak boldly to God. Have confidence that whatever will happen, our relationship with God can bear God's hearing those things and actually may even depend upon God's hearing those things from us. The author Annie Lamott writes in her book, Traveling Mercies, that our two best prayers are, help me, help me, help me, and thank you, thank you, thank you. And Jesus no doubt appreciates that because his words to his disciples, his words to us, are this invitation to be honest, to have the kind of candor when we're speaking to God that comes from the intimacy that we have with people that we're very close to allow trust to override everything else. We don't have to worry about oversensitivity to God's feelings. We can trust God. So, you know, it would take more than one sermon to address all of our questions about the hows and the whys and the whens of prayer. But this lesson today leaves us assured that we're invited into a deeper, a more honest, a more trusting relationship with this God who we believe in, who desires to be known first as our loving parent, our loving caregiver, a provider of all that is good, and a protector of all in need. That doesn't give us everything we want, but it pretty much gives us what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.